So here's the thing. So as you remember for the last one, I almost just read, just reading. So Tiffany and Timmy already asked me, are you going to really preach this time? But this is what I'll promise. I'll read less from here than I did last time. All right. So there was this guy, old man. His intentions were well, but maybe not his decisions, but he was very faithful to the Lord, and he gets this weather alert. There's this big hurricane, tornado, typhoon, whatever you want to call it. It's going to come wipe out his whole neighborhood. He should leave. And he goes, no, God will take care of me. So then, sure enough, it hits, and it starts flooding, got 2 feet deep water out, and his neighbor comes by. Big 4x4 truck says, all right, come on, we're all leaving. Hop in the back of the truck. I'll get you out of here. Old man goes, no, God will take care of me. So now it gets so flooded that he is sitting on the top of his roof. And a rescue team comes by in a boat. Says, all right, it's time to go. Everybody's gone. You're the last one in the neighborhood. The old man still doesn't get in the boat, and he says, no, God will take care of me. The guy actually ends up drowning, and he dies. And he's up, and he asks God, he's all, why didn't you take care of me? What happened? And God said, I sent you a weather alert, I had your neighbor stop by, and I sent you a rescue boat. What else do you want from me? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for allowing everybody else to get here safe for men's preaching night. Thank you for the sermon from Matthew. It was wonderful. Please use me as a tool. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'm going to title this Heresies. What? Something that makes the Holy Spirit mad. For most of you that know me, I'm a very relaxed, easygoing individual. And even if I'm upset, I kind of go introverted. I don't get mad. But these things here, they make me mad. I feel the Holy Spirit inside of me getting mad at some of these things. I was talking at prayer breakfast yesterday, and this got me thinking. The Discovery Channel, and they were doing this thing, Who is Really Jesus? And the amount of heresies that was coming out of this secular program, it literally made me shiver, and I had to turn it off. So, of course, just like last time, I had a completely different message prepared, but I woke up this morning, and all of these things just flooded in my head, and so I had a feeling this is what God wanted me to talk about. So, a couple weeks ago, first of all, hey, I did not write the Bible, ladies. I was explaining to my sister-in-law why I won't read Joyce Meyer's. I tried to keep it nice and simple as possible. And I go, sorry, women are not supposed to preach to men. And her reply back to me was, well, the Bible was written a long time ago. How many times is that being used as an excuse? I mean, yes, the Bible was written a long time ago, but God promised us that he was going to preserve his words. Let's see, I'm going to start here. Go to Revelation 22. You know what? I wrote it down here. Haha, I'll read. For I testify unto every man. Oh, it's 22 verses 18 through 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I mean, if God wanted any of his words to be changed or updated or anything like that, he would not have put that verse in the Bible. Amen. It's plain and simple. And go to Matthew 5, verse 17 through 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And in Matthew 24, 35, you guys, if you don't want to flip them, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, I found this really good in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 40 here. And where am I at? Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then say Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and all that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, thou shalt take away, and thou shalt be eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and in truth and in my days. Was there more?
Did I jump? You
were before back to 39. My Bible. I was going to say that did not sound right. All right, so go back. Excuse me. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain hill shall be a place. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice say, cry, and he shall say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as a flower of the fields. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That makes a lot more sense. So, right here, there's a couple things. Number one, they're talking about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, which is, I'm going to get into this next one. But he says again that the words will be preserved. And in 1 Peter, he kind of mimics or uses Isaiah, where he says, for all the flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Isaiah said it, again, I don't know what the years are, but at least 400 years before 1 Peter. Absolutely. So that leads me into my next false doctrine that is secular, and even religions preach it. Jesus is not God. Jesus is God. Jesus himself said that he was God. What we just read right there, preparing, John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord. Go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And then where did I go? I'll just keep reading. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was true. Yeah, okay. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Real quick, just kind of off topic here. Sons of God, we are all the sons of God. Don't let anybody else tell you different. Amen. Even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who can sit here and actually read that and say that, number one, the word is not Jesus, and number two, the word was not made flesh to dwell among us? Even if I was an unsaved, secular individual, I could read that. Even if I didn't believe it, I would say, well, that Bible is saying that Jesus Christ is God. It's very simple, to the point. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I do not see how that could be argumented. And like I said, Jesus himself claimed to be God. There are multiple verses. Let's see. Go to John, one more, John 14, 6. The reason I chose this one is it kind of goes over what we just read there. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus, again, there's multiple verses where Jesus says, I am God. I mean, he says before Abraham, I am. But this one here, look back at what we said at John 1. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And yet here, Jesus is saying again, I am the life. I am the way. Anyway, again, I could give a lot more verses, but we're going to go to my next one. All right. So I was with my dad in the hospital. And this guy was telling me how he was reprimanding his son. And one of the things that he said to his son, he goes, son, even Jesus ran away once. And I'm sitting there, I was flabbergasted. I go, you are telling your son that Jesus has sinned. He took that completely out of context. Jesus never ran away from his parents. If you go to Luke 2, 42, this is what the guy was talking about. And again, it's just very self-explanatory. Luke 2. Go to 42. As you well know, I use a lot of Bible. Bible is the best way for me not to put out heresies of my own. Amen. All right. 42? Yeah. Am I in the right one? Chapter 2. I was my Bible. I should use my family Bible. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So number one, he isn't running away. He tarried behind, and his parents just didn't know where he was. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Now who, if you're going to use the terminology, ran away, who ran away? His parents left him. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood, not saying what she spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And read this part very carefully. And he was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings at heart. So right there, number one, Jesus didn't even realize that his parents didn't know where he was. He was doing his father's business in his father's house. And when he realized that his mother actually was searching for him, he was subject under her. He honored his mother and father. Plain and simple. Jesus never sinned. And if this is the only verse in the Bible, or the only context that they can take away trying to have people believe that Jesus sinned, just direct them to Luke. Amen. All right. Here's one. There are people out there that teach that once saved, you can lose your salvation. Bah humbug. The only argument, there's only one argument in the entire Bible that could possibly come into that conversation.